Welcome to Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis, your host. As a writer, speaker, and former legislator, we discuss limiting government, fiscal responsibility, and fair taxation. I'm a mother of seven and a wife of one for over three decades, so I bring you my personal experience. And now it's time for Homefront with Cynthia Davis. Welcome to Homefront. Tonight we have a very special guest. We have Jennifer Young. She lives in Lingle, Wyoming, and is currently serving as the chairman of the Wyoming Constitution Party. Jennifer is now running for Secretary of State in Wyoming. We met recently at the Constitution Party meeting in Denver, Colorado. There, she inspired us with what can happen when people get involved. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you, Cynthia. It's good to be with you.
Yep, it's good to have you, an opportunity. What's it like out there in Wyoming right now?
Well, I'm in the banana belt of Wyoming, and it was 64 degrees today here.
No, that's warmer than St. Louis.
It's so warm.
20 below.
Right, and 2 weeks ago it was 20 below.
Why do they call it the banana belt?
That's why I call it, because the rest of Wyoming is much cooler most of the time. I've been around Wyoming a lot, and we have some areas that are cooler than others, and this is definitely the warmest place in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And I can grow my own food, and I'm still near the mountains. And
nice. I have a cousin who came to visit me on New Year's Eve a couple years ago. He was on his way to Provo, Utah, and on his way he had to drive through Wyoming. No, you know what? I think he was on his way to somewhere in Idaho. And on his way through Wyoming, he nearly lost his life in a blizzard, a blinding blizzard where he couldn't see anything. And I thought, wow, I don't think I want to go there.
We have some of the most dangerous interstate during the winter months. That is for sure.
Well, anyway, I'm happy to have you. I want you to tell me a little bit about how you got to Wyoming and what brought you to the Constitution Party.
My dad brought us to Wyoming when I was only 5 years old, and so only two of the five of us children, I'm the oldest of five, were born out of state. The rest were born here in Wyoming, and I was brought here very young. He met a friend when he was in the Navy who was from Wyoming, and my dad has a heart for the wide open spaces and came to visit and was hooked. So here we are.
Amazing.
And I'm proud to say that I am one of five living generations currently living in Wyoming. So,
well, that's very special. What I like about it is, I think when they wrote the song, "Oh, Give Me a Home Where the Buffalo Roam and the Deer and the Antelope Play."
Yeah, we're talking about here.
Yeah, I can see it. I can envision it.
Where we have more antelope than people, that's true.
When my husband and I went to bookselling school 26 years ago to figure out how to open up a Christian bookstore, there was a gentleman there who ran the Christian bookstore in Casper, Wyoming. And so it always had a special spot in our hearts. And when did you become politically involved?
Probably about 4 years now I've been involved and started paying closer attention to how I was voting, who I was voting for, and stepping up and doing my part, taking responsibility for my part in our republic. Then in 2010, so about 3 years ago, I found the Constitution Party. I realized in my search that neither the people in the Republican Party nor, of course, the Democrat Party were representing my beliefs and my views and really weren't listening to those people that had been active and paying attention, and just we weren't represented in either of the political parties anymore. I was searching for a home that way, and I was praying, and friends introduced me to the Constitution Party. They were forming here in Wyoming, having their convention, their forming convention, and asked me along, and I was hooked on the platform immediately, and the idea of a party that would adhere to that platform and be about principle rather than politics and get back to the fundamentals of our Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the principles that our founding fathers and our forefathers taught them, of course, to have.
Nice. You led a fantastic effort to put a referendum on the ballot. Can you tell us the story of how you got involved in doing a petition?
Yes, in December of 2012, I heard of a bill that was coming up about our education system, and it is was called Senate File 104, is now known as SF-104. It is an educational bill and a bill that affects the superintendent of public instruction, which in this state we still vote on, and it still gives us local control in the schools. It is one of the measures by which we keep local control.
Smart.
Like that person every 4 years.
Applause for Wyoming. Most states have an appointed board of education. I know we do in Missouri. And what's unfortunate about that is most people don't know who is on their state board of education, yet those are the people who are voting on critical issues like what our curriculum will be and what if we are going to adopt the Common Core standards.
Right. And we have an appointed board as well. However, we have local boards at each county level, and then there is the superintendent of public instruction to whom all they would answer, and that way that person was elected by us every 4 years, and so we still have, you know, control.
So your elected superintendent of education said to the state of Wyoming, we're not going to do Common Core. And then the Senate said, aha, I got a bright idea. Let's strip her of the authority to make that determination, right?
Well, she was against Common Core, but that was a small piece in the puzzle. It was about the federalization of education in Wyoming. And that's something that we all need to be careful, not careful of. We are in the middle of it. We are looking at it in C-scope, Common Core, the race to the top. We are looking at the federalization of education, the centralization of government, and that is what this was about. And yes, she is against Common Core.
So the slick senators came up with an idea. Hey, if we have to keep we're never going to get the voters to go along with getting rid of our elected superintendent of education, so let's make it a ceremonial figurehead. Aha.
Right, they did that, but they violated the Constitution in doing so. They stripped enough power from that elected official that would have required a constitutional amendment, and they cut the proper method out of the equation. And that was our issue when we took up sponsoring the referendum, because the referendum is one of the direct legislative processes, one of the democratic processes we have within our republic, okay? We have very few democratic processes within our constitutional republic, and initiative and referendum are two of those activities. We can introduce bills by the initiative, and we can reject bills or legislation by the referendum. And so we wanted to reject that bad bill, and we sponsored the referendum, the Constitution Party of Wyoming did. When we got petitions, we've had 60-some-odd days to collect the number of signatures. In a 90-day period, we had actually 66 or 7 days to collect signatures once all the bureaucratic nonsense was taken care of. And within that time, we garnered 22,000 signatures. So it was an incredible effort. And one that I would not by any means consider a failure, though I know it has been dubbed that by some.
Well, it wouldn't be that hard to get 22,000 if you were in an urban core, but Wyoming doesn't really have an urban core. There probably are miles between houses, and you had to get 15% of the votes cast in the previous general election.
In so, 15% of the counties. So we had to get 15% of the total registration, which had to represent 15% of two-thirds of our counties.
Amazing. And the requirement was 37,000, over 37,000 signatures.
Right.
Which is one of the most difficult stipulations in the entire country. So,
and given that we have, you know, 97,900 some odd square miles, that, you know, 576,000 people live in, that was a huge success.
I'm proud of you. So then what made you decide to run for Secretary of State?
Several factors. I'm not accusing the person specifically. I want that known right up front. But there's a lot of corruption in our own state government. And a lot of that problem is career recycled politicians. And I don't know how many times I have to sit and tell somebody what we need before I become that. And that's what happened for me. I sat with people in our circles and in my friends and those who would listen and say, what we need is somebody that won't be, you know, there for the career. What we need is somebody that will want to go home and let somebody else do it, right? That's the way it's designed, correct?
Right.
And what we need is, some, right, okay, and I said that enough, and I'm an activist. It was only a matter of time in saying that before I became that.
And that's what it is for most real people.
And too, Cynthia, in this day and age, it should have taken, we got 1,000 petitions, they were 55 pages. Even given that, making our petition packet should not have taken more than, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, 2 days in printing. Since the format was already done, the bill was already printed, right?
Mm-hmm.
They took 2 weeks. And we're talking 14 days out of an already very limited time period. So the integrity of the process was not protected by who? The Secretary of State. That's who controls that. When I went in, because once you file and you get a notice of determination, whether you have enough signatures, whether you don't, whatever the determination is, once you get that determination, if you have any grievance with any part of the process, as per Title 22, Chapter 24, Section 122 of the Wyoming State Statutes, you can file a grievance with the district court and file the complaint on the grievance that you have of that process. Okay? I did that by myself. And I did it based on the time they took to prepare those petitions. The Constitution nor the statutes allow them the time. Neither the Constitution nor the statutes allow them the time to squander in an already limited time period. They are to protect the integrity of the process. Okay? And so the basis of the complaint is they don't have the constitutional authority to take that time. When I went in to tell the current Secretary of State and the Deputy Secretary that this was not about the person, the people, because we had developed very good rapport with the Secretary of State's Election Division, he didn't even know how I was to go about that. I was schooling him on the statutes related to a very important process. He should have known about, at least brush himself up on, when we filed referendum.
Of course. with the
And then, when I was figuring out how to do the referendum, I was learning it out of statute and kind of hashing back and forth with the people in the elections division, because they didn't know how to do it either. It hadn't been done since 1996. They weren't there.
And we're not even lawyers, and we don't have a paid legal team on our staff.
We don't.
And they do.
Right, and they do. And I didn't have paid legal staff. I did this with the resources I have at my fingertips, which is our Constitution, our state statutes, the Wyoming Court Rules book, and 100 tips for writing the best brief book. And I wrote my brief.
Good going. Hi, friends. Do you like what you're hearing? Then go to my website. It's CynthiaDavis.net and sign up for my newsletter. You'll get all this information and more when you sign up for my email reminding you of when you'll hear another podcast and letting you know what's coming up next. Besides, we always have a little bit of humor at the end, so go to CynthiaDavis.net and stay in the loop. For those of you who don't like email, go to my Facebook page. It's called Homefront with Cynthia Davis. And make sure you click the like button. That way, you'll have a convenient way to see what we're doing and to get the word when another podcast is released.
Let it shine before all men.
That's Homefront with Cynthia Davis on Facebook. My website is CynthiaDavis.net. That's where we keep all our good stuff. So if you want to get our newsletter and find more podcasts, go to CynthiaDavis.net. Hey, let's stay in touch. I'll just explain it the way a lot of people might understand better. Jennifer, over the holidays, I played Monopoly for the first time in decades.
I love it.
And what happened is I figured out that if I land on a square and somebody else owns it, but if I just can be quiet and if the other person doesn't notice, then I don't have to pay rent.
Right.
And that's what happened in Wyoming, but not only Wyoming, it happens in every state. If the citizens don't notice and the government is intruding on us and trespassing and nobody stands up and hollers, they're going to get away with it because of our silence.
Because, right, and we are suffering from our own lack of knowledge. There's where I have an advantage. I can learn anything. I was in those statutes so thoroughly, I started realizing that, wow, the entire Secretary of State's job is outlined in the statutes in one title, chapter, or another. And so I started looking through them, because I now have a whole set at my disposal through this, and realized I could learn that job. It was time for me to step up and be the person that I was claiming we needed. And I am the type of person who will hold myself accountable to those people. I will hold myself accountable to someone. This is first and foremost the important thing.
Of course. It's something that's not being done currently.
Right. I'm excited. This is an exciting time. I have hope. There's another reason I'm running, because I can see the writing on the wall where there is trouble. Here, there's more coming, but I see hope.
Let me ask you this. I was inspired to hear the Republican candidate for governor in Wyoming come out and endorse you. I thought that was really very special. I applaud you. The idea that Cindy Hill is running for governor herself and that she would publicly state, I'm supporting Jennifer Young and I want all of you to support her also, that is bold and brave, and I'm very impressed. When I ran for statewide office, my Republican friends treated me like I had the cooties and like I'd given up on religion or something. And you know what? I did give up the religion that worships political parties. I freed myself from that, but I never found one candidate running for a Republican office who would dare to say, and I want you all to vote for Cynthia Davis. That didn't happen. And I'm proud of you for getting that endorsement. That will help a lot, because if you and her can share constituents, then you will both help each other. I think the sad part about politics is a lot of candidates are afraid to come anywhere near other candidates because they're concerned that people won't like the other candidate B and it will hurt them. But if we're going to get anywhere, we have to be smarter. We have to be asking what new strategy will work. We have to connect the dots for people. If people like Cindy Hill, they'll like you also. It's that simple, and you have to let them know. And more importantly, Cindy Hill needs to continue to let them know that Jennifer Young is the right person for this job.
Right. I tremendously appreciate the public show of support that she's given me and continues to give me, and it is bold on her part. Cindy is a, like many of our Republican friends, family, etc., brothers, sisters, they're constitutionalists, many of them, at heart, and they belong here, they just don't know it yet. They still see hope of positive change coming from within the GOP.
Well, so many candidates tell us they are really constitutional, but they want to run on the Republican ticket because they believe that is the party that will get them into office. They tell us about the condition of the Republican Party, and they believe that they're going to be the change agent that will make it all better. Can you tell us what is the condition of the Republican Party in your state, and why did you decide not to run on the Republican ticket?
Oh, many reasons. I have found my home, and to abandon it because I think I could win better on a different ticket would be playing the game the same way. I want to be a statesman. I don't want to be a politician, and politicians play the game however they need to play it to win it. Statesmen stand by their principles.
And not only that, but if you ran on the Republican ticket, then people would, in the Republican Party, would feel like they own you, and you would lose.
And I don't want to be aligned, and, you know, I don't want a lot of people to take offense to this, and if they do, I apologize that they take offense, not that I'm saying it. The Republican Party is split half and half because the Republican Party is not sticking by conservative principles anymore. 60% of Americans right now say want a third party. They feel betrayed by the Republican Party. And the Republican Party is mainly what is feeding us federalization and centralization in our own state governments right now. What I would say to that is it's time. It's time for a party that is bold enough to stand by their principles even when there are sensitive social issues involved. Bold enough to admit the insight of the forefathers and the importance of the documents. The documents, our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence, are the two most amazing documents vocalizing our God-given inherent rights and protecting them in writing in a contract with the people.
When I ran as a Republican for the Missouri State Legislature, the Republican Party had staff that told me what I'm supposed to say, what printer I'm supposed to use, who has to micromanage my mailings, and yet they wanted me to spend my money. So I was perplexed by this feeling like they owned me. And my husband said it this way. He said, Cynthia, you were a gift to the Republican Party because they didn't really have to spend anything on you. You just came forth, you were a great candidate, and they benefited because I made up the majority of Republicans in the Capitol. I was part of flipping it from Democrat control to Republican control. But even after the Republicans got in control, there isn't really much they have to show for it. All it meant is we got nicer offices, nicer parking places, and more donations from the lobbyists. Big whoop-de-doo. We got to control the agenda. We got to pick what bills came forth. But you know what? They still had bills emerge that grew government bigger. Even with the Republicans in charge, they didn't trim the budget. They didn't shrink government. Yes, they might say in a few small areas they did, but in the aggregate, the government grew bigger. The budget grew bigger.
They're doing that here.
Both parties are spending the same amount of money. It's just which department they wanted to put it into.
Right, and our state governments are more rapidly becoming mirror images of Washington.
While I was in the Missouri State Legislature, the state voted on an ethanol mandate, and the corn farmers were going to stand to gain a lot of money off of that. Well, you know what? I was one of four people who voted against it, and one of the representatives who claimed to be so constitutional came to me a year later, and he said, you know what? You did the right thing in voting against that, because the year after the corn ethanol went into effect, we had the cattle ranchers showing up at the Capitol asking where their subsidy is, because after all, we just drove the price of corn sky high and now they can't afford to feed the cattle. So how much did that correct the world?
Right.
So I'm just telling you, if you want to make a difference, you're doing the right thing, Jennifer. I'm proud of you. And it does take a lot of courage and fortitude and stamina to run a campaign. It's gut-wrenching. You'll have the highest moments of your life, and you'll have the lowest moments in your life. You'll have people love you and people hate you. You'll have people write you nasty letters and call you all kinds of names, but then you'll have other people saying, I'm so glad you're running. So emotionally, it is very difficult. All I can give you for advice is to just trust God to help you, because he will lead and guide. So what is impassioning you to have the fortitude to run a statewide campaign?
My faith. My faith in the Lord and my commitment to my children and grandchildren to maintain a legacy of honor and respect for our Constitution, love of freedom and liberty, and willingness to protect it, and a degree of self-sufficiency as well.
That's good. And, you know, I think as mothers, we really do want to make the world a better place for our children. My husband said, he's a wonderful man, he doesn't have the same skill set or the gifts or the calling that I have to run for office. But when I ran for an office one time, his famous words were, Cynthia, you can run for any office you want, just don't make me go to a bunch of stuffy dinners.
Stuffy dinners, that's perfect.
Yeah, so...
Well, and, you know, and we do need that support. That is not an across-the-board thing, support amongst family and friends when you decide to do something like this, and I have the utmost... And I have an amazing network. My husband is incredibly supportive, 110% supportive.
And that matters. That's very I would give this advice to any candidate. Don't even try if you don't have the support of your spouse.
Right.
It won't go well for you.
Right. I would agree with pretty much anything you decide to do, that would be a good assessment.
Right. Is there any message you want to give to the people of Wyoming tonight on our broadcast of Homefront? What are you going to do that you want them to know about first and foremost?
My intention is to go in and clean house. I will look at contracts. I will investigate where we are spending frivolously in areas, anywhere we can save the state money so that we can start focusing on our own health care and fixing our education. I would look at rules, and in the referendum, I noticed a lack of promulgated rules for the democratic process of referendum specifically, and so I imagine there is more of that needs to be done so that the processes we have available through the Secretary of State's office and the Election Division as the people is tighter, neater, and more effective.
Electoral integrity.
Exactly. And as the Secretary of State, I would sit on several important boards. One, the State Loan Investment and Investment Board, and another is the State Building Commission. Those boards, those people are making decisions that are impacting our current state government, our future state government, the future of our monies. We have, at this time, only Cindy Hill as a reasonable conservative voice that is constitutionally minded at this point. We need the scales tipped on those boards as well, and I would be a voice there. And in our state, the Secretary of State is the deputy governor, the lieutenant governor, some call it. And so that's something to think about as well.
Nice. Well, go tip the scales, Jennifer. You have us with you. And thank you for being on our show tonight. Maybe you'll come back on again sometime.
Sure. I would love to. Thank you, Cynthia. I appreciate you.
All right. Well, I appreciate you too. We'll do an update in a little bit. But right now, God bless and have a good evening.
You too. God bless you. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. This has been another edition of Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis and hope you enjoyed our program. Please join us next week when we offer another infusion of truth, honesty, and solutions that will grow people bigger and shrink government smaller. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.